exactly halfway through the 8 o'clock hour. That's Mitch Johnson, Open Palm and Parables. Welcome to the Mornings with Ed show, a Thursday edition on what's going to be an absolutely gorgeous Laguna Beach day. There's the sun coming through. So as we do each and every Thursday, we are delighted to speak with our mayor, Mayor Sue Kempf, in to talk matters that matter to us all in the city. Welcome, Mayor Kempf. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Ed. I love that song you just played.
Oh, wasn't it great?
Yeah, it's a great song.
It's brand new. It's a band by the name of Open Palm and Mitch Johnson, and the name of the song is Parables. Yeah, brand new.
Yeah, I like it. I'm going to get it.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. We appreciate you, and I appreciate the fact that you listen, and that's really cool. Let's get right into it. First of all, let me ask, how you doing? How you feeling?
Pretty good. I'm still suffering from my stupid hip problem, but other than that, I feel great.
All right. Well, that's good. That's good to know. I'm glad you're feeling better than you were last week. And yeah, that's going to be nagging for a while. And I'm sorry to hear that it is nagging you. Speaking of for a while, we waited for a while to get the answer to what caused the Emerald Fire back in February. Turns out it was Edison overhead wires. And that just brings to the forefront the need for undergrounding. Should Edison pay for undergrounding? Is it their responsibility? If they're causing the fires, should they pay for the undergrounding?
They should absolutely pay. And, you know, we've been pressing on this issue for years, particularly, Mayor Pro Tem Whalen, who's just been relentless on this issue. But, yeah, and, you know, I don't understand for the life of me, I've said this, a million times. I don't know why they're getting stuck with these huge payouts for fires that they're responsible for, rather than just undergrounding in some of these really precarious areas. Right. It just doesn't make any sense. You know, financially, if you put pen to paper, it's got to pencil out to underground in some of these areas versus paying, big fines and, restitution to people who lose their property or lives.
Right. Right. And my guess, my thoughts on this are that they don't mind paying out the big fines or what, because that's an insurance. That's really, it's only hitting their insurance at that point. It's like insurance paying for an accident, if in fact they were going to underground, that would come out of their bottom line. Am I crazy thinking that?
No, but here's the thing, Ed. I mean, we need help from the Public Utilities Commission in our state legislature, because even if you look at the drought predictions for California, the fact that, our weather conditions have changed should be enough to get everybody on board with this. Because, when you have a risk, like within your personal life, if if you have a risk and you can mitigate it, that's what you do. I mean, you don't put yourself in a position where, you've made your own problem. And this is what's happening is, if they have a risk, they should mitigate it. We are trying our best to do that on our own, but we're a small community. I had an interview with KFI, earlier in the week, and, I told them the same thing. You can't expect small communities like this to bear the cost.
Right.
But on the other hand, if they're not going to do it, after all this pressure that we put on Sacramento, Bob and worked with Senator Morlock a while ago to introduce a bill, even cost sharing, they're still not doing it. So, what choice do we have is we have to start working on that ourselves. Now, we have been working on it for Laguna Canyon Road. We're trying to get some money to do, to do the environmental studies to start, that's the first step to get the lines up on Laguna Canyon Road. But, it's an immense expense. But, on the other hand, I'd rather start working on it. Bob's not going to give up on it, and I'm not going to give up and start working on it, because if they're not going to protect our community, we're going to continue to have to do that ourselves.
Right, right. And do you call for meetings with Edison, and do you meet with them? And if you do, do their executives seem to take this as seriously as we do, or no?
Well, I met with Edison. Sheree and I met with Edison the week before last, and it was going over, we've had a lot of power outages in Laguna Beach recently, too. Right. Which we didn't used to have that many, but we went over the cause of the outages, and I pounded them as usual on the undergrounding, and they didn't say anything. and then we're going to schedule a meeting with Edison. Mayor Pro Tem Whalen and I are going to be meeting with them and some people from Emerald Bay as soon as we can get a meeting scheduled, and we're going to work with them again. But you know, it shouldn't be this hard when you have these obvious problems that are repetitive.
Agreed.
You know, Pacific Gas and Electric up in Northern California, they had like, I don't remember how many fires they had that attributed to them in like over an 18-month span. Like, you know, I think it was like 17 or whatever it was. But anyway, they're undergrounding now up there.
Right, because they have to. And Bob made the point the other night that, you know, we were really just a wind direction away from being paradise, you know, from being engulfed like paradise, the town up there was.
Well, you know, paradise, too, in the aftermath, to do the environmental restoration for that small town is $3 billion. Why? Because all that benzene went into the soil. There's all this soil contamination. So it's not just people losing their home.
Right.
It's, you know, an environmental disaster as well.
That's a catastrophe.
And we just lushed out. We had two onshore winds, one in February for that fire, and one in May for the second one. So right. We lucked out. Even though we're really prepared, we've done a lot of really good work in our town, but, yeah. You know, you can't control nature.
Right.
But you can control undergrounding those lines.
Right. Well, thank you for that. Congratulations on the local coastal program amendment to the updated historic preservation ordinance. What does that mean for Laguna Beach?
Well, it's really good for homeowners because what was happening in the past was sometime, I don't know when it was, but people's homes got put on these, you know, quote unquote historic lists without their permission.
Right.
And so people were coming in. This has been going on for a while. People were coming in saying, hey, I want to change up my windows. And they'd say, well, your house looks historic to me. Why don't you get a $4,000 historic assessment, and we'll see what, you know, what we need to do, what you can do with your house and what you can't do with your house. People are like, what? No one told me that. But so anyway, the historic ordinance that we put through was a voluntary ordinance, so we provide a lot of incentives if people want to restore their home to some, you know, past historic kind of look and feel, if they can do that if they'd like, and try to, you know, restore it, you know, to something what it looked like in the past. But, you know, we don't have... You know, what was happening is any house 45 years or older could get looped into that process. And, you know, not all our houses are historic.
Right.
They're just maybe older. Anyway, we're just giving some leeway for residents to either restore their home. And if they don't want to get in that, you know, kind of bear trap, they don't have to.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you. So on Tuesday night, the thing that caught my ear, Councilmember Weiss... was alleging that a video on the city's website was altered. I don't know if you heard the program yesterday. I addressed this yesterday. And knowing our city clerk very, very well, when you throw crap on the wall and hope that it sticks, man, you better come prepared because she will call you out on it. She responded to Councilmember Weiss related to the video and explained the different platforms used to stream. I don't think he got it. He still seemed confused. Did you get that as well?
Well, first of all, you know, if you have a question about the recording, you instead of bringing it up at a council meeting and making a big deal out of it, the first thing you do is you call the city manager with your question or you call the city clerk. That's what I do. I have a question, I just call the city manager and, you know, find out how things actually work. So when this came up, and, you know, Anne Marie McKay is an excellent city clerk. I've been working with her a lot, you know, since she's been elected. And she's excellent. You know, and so when he started with that, I was kind of confused, like, what are you talking about? There's always a lag between what's going on in the chamber and what you might see on TV. It's always obvious because when people call in sometimes, we'll have to tell them, hey, can you, you know, turn down your television because it's creating feedback or, you know, just disrupting the conversation. That's always the case. And, you know, that's just a fact.
Right.
So, you know, I thought first I was going to say something, and I thought, well, she can definitely handle herself. But I think she had to talk about it. She had to, you know, explain it three times.
Right.
And here's the other thing. You just don't, you know, you just don't come on in an accusatory fashion with people. You don't assume that somebody did the wrong thing. There's no conspiracy at City Hall to do anything with the tape. It's just ridiculous.
Right. And
I was sitting there. Okay, this is a new low up here now.
Yeah, and being someone who's lost a lot of arguments to our city clerk, I can tell you, man, you don't want to get into that conversation with her. And I was like, I almost felt bad for him because I knew it was going to happen. And I'm like, oh, dude, you're walking down the wrong road, man. So, yeah, Hopefully his confusion clears up a little bit. Also, I noticed that Council Member Eisenman joined in on a member of the public who said they weren't getting information from City Hall, that Sheree wasn't returning her emails. And then Sheree produced a paper trail and said, no, I do send you and I have the proof. It seems like an enormous waste of council member time.
Well, you know, she was asking the question, and I remembered was, well, first of all, I remember the emails because we had, you know, Tony was also asking me. So we were, you know, all, you know, between Tony and I and, you know, the city manager, we were being very conscientious about making sure that, you know, kind of the word was out and that we were prepared because, you know, all this nonsense ensues on the 4th of July. We didn't want to have a fire. But she, you know, we did have a, you know, discussion about this, you know, the prior council meeting. And, you know, there was a lot of email that she sent out to the council. So, and she, after the fact, she, yesterday or the day before, she forwarded the emails again to, at least to me. I don't know if all the whole council got it, Tony got it. So she forwarded the emails again so she could show her what the email trail was. But, yeah, so... Yeah, I mean, yeah, we were prepared for that. We had good communications, but, you know, sometimes there's a lot going on in council and, you know, you don't always remember all your emails. We get a lot of emails.
Right. Well, one of the things that it seemed that everybody can agree on, and I was pleasantly surprised that it not just all the council, but everyone in the room seemed to agree on that property that you're looking at on Coast Highway. Tell us about that.
Oh yeah, that's the former St. Catharines. It's been vacant for a couple of years now, and we've actually been working on acquiring this property since it became apparent that they wanted to sell it. And it's sort of funny because they have their local church representatives, and their bishops and archbishops and all that. But we actually had to go to the Pope, and goes all the way up the chain.
Wow!
And the Pope.
Wow!
And then it comes all the way. I know it. It comes all the way. Back down, and that took quite a while because the Pope's busy.
He's a busy guy. He's got things to do, you know? He's at the Vatican doing things.
Yeah, the Pope's busy. But anyway, it came back, and yeah, we want to buy it for $23 million. You know, and, you know, these properties don't come up very often in this town because we're, you know, largely built out. And it's really, I've walked through it. It's a beautiful building. It's very well built. It's a beautiful site up there on that hill. It's a prime piece of real estate. And so I don't think one person complained about us purchasing this thing. And so the next step would be to figure out what do we want to do. You know, school district is interested because there are some classrooms obviously up there and they might want, you know, pre-kindergarten classes up there because right now they don't offer that.
Right.
And so we may do some partnerships there, but we want to do master planning. And so we're going to figure out over time. We'll have a lot of, you know, discussions with the community because, you know, there's a lot of interest in that property for a variety of reasons, you know, performance venues, civic uses, recreational uses. Right. So, I mean, it would lack a lot of foresight if we didn't buy that property because that would just probably go to somebody else, maybe a developer at some point. But what the church was really good about with us is they want to make sure that they're willing to sell it to us at a price under their appraisal. Because they want it to stay in the community.
Right, right.
Which was really a very civic-minded thing to do for the church. I mean, that was a really, really nice and a fair way to work with us.
Yeah. Hats off to them for that, and to the Pope for getting back so quickly, as a matter of fact. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, way to go, Pope.
So as you look at the property, and I don't want you to show all your playing cards now, but as you looked at the property, what was your first instinct? What would you like to see happen with the property?
So, you know, there's a huge gymnasium there at a really nice, you know, we don't have a recreation facility here. The only gym we have is really, you know, the high school, the schools and then the Boys and Girls Club. There's a really nice gym in there. So I don't know, when I walk in a gym, because I spend lots of time in a gym, I get the spring in my step, and I just feel great walking on the floor.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we could have, you know, we could have some basketball leagues and, you know, volleyball leagues and stuff like that in there. There's a stage in there, and so we can definitely have performances in there. And so that's really nice. There's a huge field down below. And so, you know, I personally would like to see us get another pool there because our, you know, our high school pool is impacted.
Right.
And we have a lot of swimmers in this community. So, you know, that would be great. And you know, people want more pickleball courts and things like that, then, you know, we could have, I don't know, you could have a small police department, you know, substation there, service the community in South Laguna. You know, we can have meeting spaces for the community if you want a space to have a meeting. We have that. Now, right now, we just pretty much have the Suzy Q.
Right.
So we'd have meeting space there. I mean, there are so many things we could do there. We could have a, you know, kind of a adjunct technical library there, where, you know, more technology oriented library. We could have that there too. You know, so as a separate, you know, another library. I don't know. There's so many things you could do.
It really is. It really could be the best multi-purpose facility that we have.
Right. And so we just need to do good master planning, and I think we will. It's really nice, really nice to see the community be supportive of us purchasing that property, because usually there's scrutiny, you know, from a few people. But, you know, this time we didn't get much, and that was really nice.
And just a rough estimate of how long before you and I can lace up our tennis shoes and play some basketball there?
It's going to be a while, I think. I don't know. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah. Yeah, I know. Well, I can't do it now because I've injured
hip. I know. When your hip gets, well, at least we'll give your hip time to heal. So, that, yeah, we'll give it a little time to heal before we jump on in there. Mayor Sue Kempf, I want to thank you, as always, for stepping in and chatting with us today. What do you got planned for the rest of the week?
So, I have a lot of meetings and, you know, my usual out and about in the community. I'm being a little careful now because there's a pretty high infection rate in town. A lot of people have COVID or had COVID. So it's a little bit dicey right now. So I'm trying to be a little bit careful because we have, you know, back-to-back council meetings coming up, and I don't want to, you know, miss any of those. I actually introduced a kind of an emergency agenda bill, agenda item on the council meeting last Tuesday, so that if, you know, if you're sick or can't attend, you can join the council. The council members can join, you know, remotely, so that nobody feels compelled to come in if they're sick or the timing doesn't work out, that you can't put the noticing, you can't notice the public that you're not going to be attending. Let's say, you know, we put the noticing out for the prior Tuesday council meeting, and let's say, you know, on the prior Thursday, let's say you get sick on the weekend and your meeting is on Tuesday. Well, then it's the way we were operating before, is you just can't come in and you can't participate.
Right. Let me give you a couple of observations from Tuesday night. If you like, I noticed you put up the plexiglass, so congratulations there, and the plexiglass between each of you. The safe thing to do now is when someone comes to address you, when they stand there at the podium, they're masked. And because a council member can't hear, this was Tony in particular, she couldn't hear what the person was saying. Instead of asking them to speak up, she asked them to take the mask off. Can we not do that anymore? If so, just let them keep the mask on and maybe ask them to speak up or something.
Yeah, I will, because I think, you know, the whole purpose of wearing a mask is keeping your mask on while you're inside.
Right.
So even if you're speaking, we can hear people speaking when they have their mask on. I mean, it is annoying for people speaking with a mask on, and it's harder to hear, but, you know, that's the whole point, is to wear the mask.
Right. Well, again, I appreciate your time today. I look forward to seeing you here in the next few days out and about, and maybe getting that hip back in shape so that we can shoot some hoop over at the new property on Coast Highway.
You got it.
All right. Mayor Sue Kempf, thank you very much. 8:48 the time. It's the Mornings with Ed Show.